HR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So glad to be with you right now for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. What a joy to be here with you. We always are. So today joining me, Pastor Marcia McAllister today from Beacon of Hope. Today joining me will be Dr. Angel Falzoni in a moment and Cindy Henderson from Idaho. Cindy moved out there a few years back, but she's been a Beaconite forever and used to be right here locally with us. So looking forward to this show with the two of these little powerhouses. So they're amazing. And so God's going to do some mighty things today on the show. Hope you're ready for it. I hope you're ready for the hand of God to begin to move mightily in your life. If you were listening to the show right before us, Truth Talk, you heard them speak to me and to our ministry about a property that we are looking for that has not revealed itself yet. And they were talking on prayer and fasting. And, you know, that is so very true. The power of prayer and fasting is amazing. So we received that word that was given to us. And Cindy Henderson, is that you, girl?
It is.
Hey, so glad to hear your voice, and you're such a blessing. Dr. Angel's getting all prepared in there in the studio. Cindy, and, you know, through all the things that we've all been through in our lives, it's just amazing that God continues to reveal new things to us and continues to teach us new concepts, which is, of course, what we're talking about today in our series, Promised Land. We're doing part two of the Jericho thing. And we had a mighty service this morning and looking forward to this one this afternoon on the radio. So, Cindy, what's God doing in your life?
Well, he gave me a great place to live.
Praise God. We were praying about that. Are you happy there?
Yes, I was given 2 weeks to find a place to live, and not through any fault of my own. I didn't get evicted or anything. Something happened in the life of the person I was renting from, and it was stressful. But God has given me a nice, safe, clean, quiet, spacious.
Praise God.
In the home of a coworker, and they are
that's great.
Very strong, spirit filled believers.
Wow.
So I went from two rooms to one room, but actually have more space.
Great.
In the one room than I had in the two at the other place, and my commute only increased by a couple minutes to work. So
God took care of it. I remember when you sent that prayer request in just a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it didn't take long for him to respond, did it?
It did not.
Praise God. Well, you can believe with us because did you catch the end of their show right before us?
I did not.
Okay. They have given Dr. McKay and Bishop George, they have given this ministry I think it's three prophetic words now over the last couple years about property. And, you know, at the time when the first one of those prophetic words came in, we weren't really actually looking for property. But things have changed quite a bit, and we are beginning to, and have been now for several weeks, looking for something. So you can agree with us that God is going to reveal that place, or we are to call our church home here soon. And we are believing God for increase. He has been doing that. We're going to continue to believe him for that. And, you know, there's just so much going on, and so much going on in the spirit, you know, where God is moving and he's providing for us and he's taking care of our needs. And for our listening audience out there, if you're new to this ministry or new to this show, which is Living the Good Life, we want you to know that this show is all about teaching you the fundamentals about how our nature of our Heavenly Father, and encouraging you to get in the Word of God and to appropriate his promises for your life. That's what it's all about. Do you have to? Do you want to add on that, Cindy, before we go to this first song? And then we'll get to Angel here in a minute. She's getting set up. You okay?
I think it's very exciting about the property. I know that's something that you haven't had for a while.
Right.
And that would be a huge blessing. A
yes.
Huge responsibility as well. But obviously, if God's speaking to people about it, then he's getting ready to move.
He's getting ready to move. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we just thank you for this time together with Angel and Cindy and our audience, wherever they are, whether they're live or later on podcast. We give you the glory and the praise for this service, this show, a service, whatever it is. We thank you for it, Lord, and we are believing you for a tremendous anointing, as we always feel on this show. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to meet needs of our listeners, and that you're going to speak to hearts and cause there to be a fresh new desire for you, for your word, for your concepts, the practical Christian living that we teach here. Lord, we are believing in Jesus' name that you're going to move some mountains in people's lives today, and that you are going to reign anew and stronger than ever before in our individual lives. That is our desire. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. And we're going, amen and amen. And we're going to start the song, the show with Angel's, one of her favorite songs. Believe it or not, it is. It really is one of her favorite songs. Can you imagine what it might be, Angel? What might it be? I don't know. Do you have any idea what it might be?
A good, good father?
I think it might be, yeah.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. We can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call.
Good Father, that's who he is.
You are perfect in all.
It's the God we serve. Praise God. Is he a good father, Dr. Angel?
Yes, he is.
Would a good father promise you all kinds of blessings and say this is going to happen if he had no intention of fulfilling those promises, Angel?
A good father would not do that. He promises that he's going to come through.
And he had promised the children of Israel, clear back, beginning with Abraham. Abraham, starting in Genesis 12, you can follow it from there, the story, where God said to Abraham, you know, you don't have any children at all. Yeah, I realize you're 75 years old, your wife's 65. But you know what? You're going to have kids. You're going to have, go outside, Abraham, and look up in the, Abram at that point his name was, look up in the sky. You see all those stars? You're going to have more descendants than the stars in the sky. Look at your feet. You see all that sand? You're going to have more descendants than the sand under your feet. And the dust. Can you imagine being Abraham, Cindy, and standing there and looking at the stars in the sky and saying, you're promising me this, God? You mean you're making this promise to me? Talk to us, Cindy.
He's probably sitting there shaking his head.
But, yeah. I mean,
Are you sure?
Yeah, right. Is this sure?
That's a lot of stars.
Yeah, is this really what I'm hearing? Am I hearing correctly? I think a lot of us would have said, I don't think I'm hearing you correctly. God, there's something wrong with this picture because I'm just one person. Abram was one person who was 75 years old with a 65-year-old wife, and they had never had kids. God loves impossibilities, Angel. God loves situations that in our own perspective seem impossible. He loves that because why, Angel?
Well, that's where we know we need him, and he gets to show his miraculous power.
Exactly. And when we have a situation that is impossible for us to fix, like this property situation, when we have a thing in our lives that is beyond our control, we can't fix it. We can't seem to find it. It doesn't matter how many phone calls we've made, etc. We don't seem to be able to find it yet. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because we've been told prophetically three or four times now it is going to happen. We just haven't found it yet. Abram was told at age 75, and then he was 100 when he finally, his wife Sarah finally gave birth to a child, and she was 90. That is, in itself is an impossibility, and I don't even know why I'm talking about them because that wasn't planned here at all. And of course, you just have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But it sets up the children of Israel for needing a promised land because God said to Abram, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you your own place. I guess that goes right along with what Apostle and Bishop were just now saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us, Cindy, because in our natural, so often we get bogged down with the details and we get bogged down with the weakness of our own situation. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. And because we are, especially in America, I guess, we're used to instant results. And
oh, yeah.
Things happening quickly, you know, you order something and it's here 2 days later. And so when we look at a situation, not only does it look impossible,
right,
but it you know, like with Abraham, it's like, but God, I'm old.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Both of us are old.
Yeah.
And we've been waiting all this time. It hasn't happened. So I think your mindset often as a human, and like I say, especially in our developed countries and cultures where we're used to, you know, you drive to, you take a little drive around a building and they hand your food out the window.
it's kind of nice.
I think we're so used to the instant result.
Sure we are. Yeah.
And then we're also, I think, trained in many ways by society that, oh, well, that's impossible. Forget about it. Move on. You know, so you combine those things with our human frailties and weaknesses and the stresses of everyday life, and we can get bogged down in our own situations that say, this is never going to happen. And we need the scriptures like this to go back to so we can see situations that are extremely more impossible than what we're going through and see that God came through.
It does help, doesn't it? That's why we teach the Word of God. That's why we have all these amazing spiritual giants in the Word of God who had human frailties like all of us. And we see that they had frailties. They had times of not believing. Abram and Sarah really took that situation into their own hands. We can mm-hmm. do that at all at any time. I said this last week in my sermon, and it didn't come from me. It came from Joyce Myers, but I like this. We can get an Ishmael, which was Abram's first child with the mm-hmm. servant Hagar, because Sarah engineered that. We can get an right. Ishmael lots of times in our lives, but it's not easy to get an Isaac. There's a waiting time involved. And mm-hmm. this waiting on God can be very frustrating sometimes. And God said this to me a couple weeks ago, and I preached it last week, that I'm to the point right now, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to make it happen anymore in my zeal and my enthusiasm. I'm just not going to try to make something happen. If you don't do it, God, it's not going to happen. Talk to us, Angel, and pull all this together.
Well, you know, and I think that's exactly where God wants us to be, you know, so often in our humanness and our strength, we try to, you know, make this happen, make that happen, kind of help God do his thing. And he just wants us to trust him and pull ourselves out and build our faith in him. And I think it's when we get to the end of our rope that we let him shine.
Oh, absolutely. When we move over and let him do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I am in this property situation. That's where Joshua was in Joshua chapter 6. When actually in the end of 5, you got to talk about that first to really see the situation. Jericho was the largest and the strongest city in the new promised land. And they had to conquer it first because it was the first up when they crossed the Jordan River. There it was. Now, we're not talking about a little tiny village. We're talking about a huge city. And I brought this point out last week. We're going to bring it out again. There were two walls. There was an outer wall and there was an inner wall around Jericho. The outer wall was 12 feet thick and 30 feet tall. And if you think about that, that is humongous. 12 feet thick and 30 feet tall. Most rooms are 8 feet. So if you multiply that by three, just like three rooms stacked on top of each other, even that's only 24 feet. See, it's almost like four rooms stacked on top of each other. And then the width of 12 feet wide, you're talking a huge, they could have parties up there on that wall. I mean, it was humongous. That was the outer wall. The inner wall was 6 feet thick and 30 feet high. Again, almost in our terms, not almost, but definitely an impossibility in our terms. Cindy, talk about that. God loves impossibilities in our terms.
That in that day would have been impenetrable. And they had right. no, they didn't have catapults. They didn't have, you know.
Scaffolding.
They just spent a bunch of years wandering around in the desert.
Mm-hmm. You're saying they had no John Deere equipment?
Right. They didn't have these massive weapons of war.
No. No cannons.
They didn't have cannons and ammunition. You know, they're armed with, basically, you've got a nation that, if it's anything like this nation, predominantly women and children, you know, and then you've got your men, but you've got young people, old people.
And
looking at, you're not talking about a fence that you have to go through or go over. You're not talking about it's an embankment. Oh, it's a brick wall. This is
a wall.
Massive.
this is massive. And it's two layers
massive.
Thick. And go ahead.
The people inside the city are armed.
Exactly. Yeah.
These are men of war inside
right.
the city. And that just, wow. Talk about an impossibility.
This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible because of the impossibleness of it, right? And between these two walls was a 12-foot space. Okay, so let's say you could possibly somehow get through one layer. It'd be real hard to get through the other because there'd be people right there trying to stop you, you know?
Right.
I mean, this was, if anything ever was ripe for a miracle. Okay, now we have some situations in our own lives and in some people that we know, and especially a dear friend of mine who is battling melanoma. And I want you all to pray for this person. Her first name is Amy, and she's a dear friend of mine. And she's only like 40 years old with three small children, married to a pastor. And Cindy, just bombard heaven on this with us, because in the natural, this is huge. But if God, right. all things are possible. Okay? All things are possible. She went through brain surgery this week. It is in her brain. We are believing God for a miracle, a supernatural miracle, something that is like we can say, okay, only God could have done that, right? And that's where some of our circumstances get to. So remember to pray for Amy. Some of our circumstances get to the place where we look and we go, oh, God, if you don't do it, that's how I am about this property. God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Angel, talk to us.
You know, and I think that's where God needs us to be sometimes, so we can step ourselves out and allow him to be God in our lives, and it grows our faith.
It does.
It makes a testimony for those that share our lives with us and have watched us go through these battles and have watched this impossible situation. It puts God back on the throne.
I think it does.
We use our abilities and our skills and our resources and sometimes we are trying to be our own God of our life and make things go the way we think it should be instead of allowing him to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in these possible, what we consider in our natural thinking to be impossible situations, God is just grinning, I think. I think he's going, just believe me. Just believe me. You know? That, you know, we just started the show with good, good father. Okay? I mean, seriously. When you hear about reports of my friend Amy and other people that we know that are going through really impossible, quote unquote, situations in the natural, only God.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Cindy? Only God. Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Cindy.
Well, for instance, cancer, that's a situation that you can't do anything about it yourself.
No.
It doesn't matter you can go to doctors and they can try to do something about it.
Right.
But you in and of yourself cannot do anything about that.
We can't fix it.
Right. And so you basically have two choices. You put your faith in God and trust him to do what is best for you, or you give up.
Exactly.
And we face those situations day in and day out, maybe not on such a grand scale as cancer or Jericho, but every day, you know, throughout the day, you face situations that in and of yourself, you cannot do anything about them.
That's exactly right.
So you can live in faith and trust God to take care of you and fulfill his promises and do what he said to give you a hope and a future and to prosper you. Or you can be miserable and make other people miserable around
right.
you.
It's our choice. Good point. Angel, didn't Jesus say with men this thing might be impossible, but with God all things are possible? Didn't he say that?
Yes, he absolutely did.
Okay, so it's a matter of believing that, right?
Yes, and I mean, I love that part where, I don't remember which story, but he's like, help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief,
and I think
yes.
That's where a lot of us are. Lord, help our unbelief.
Whoa, this song by the Katinas, Believe, might just help that.
If you choose to believe.
your faith in him. It's gonna be all right. You know, just trying to get you to understand that it all comes down to believing. Even when you can't see, 'cause everything you'll ever need, he's already provided. Just believe.
Love that song. Whoa. What are you believing for today, dear audience member? What are you believing for? Do you have a bad financial situation? Do you have a bad situation in your life, in a relationship? Are you hurting emotionally, physically, financially? What's going on in your life? Let's believe God today during the show. We're going to teach an amazing story here that absolutely increases my faith every time I read it. And really, it begins in chapter 5, where Jesus himself appears at the end of chapter 5 in the form of the commander of God's army. Okay? And he says to Joshua, he appears there in, this is the third week in a row we've mentioned this story, Joshua chapter 5, 13, but it's so important. While Joshua was standing there looking up at Jericho, looking at how impossible the situation was. I mean, he looked up and he saw right in front of him who? A man standing, holding his drawn sword. Joshua stepped up to him and he said, "Whose side are you on? Ours or the enemy's?" And he said, "No, it's not about that. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. Okay? I just arrived." And immediately, this was what we call Christophany. It was Jesus appearing. And he's done this different times in the Old Testament. Joshua fell face to the ground and worshiped. And he asked, "What are your orders from this servant?" And here's the orders. And it's point one today. Take off your sandals. And the place you are standing is holy. In other words, Joshua, worship me. Worship me. That is exactly point one. When we are up against a tremendous battle, it goes right along with the show right before us, Truth Talk, when they are talking about when you're facing something, you got to fast and pray. You got to worship. You got to get into the spirit. You have got to get out of your worry, your despair, your fear, and all of that. And you have got to find a place to really concentrate on the nature of God. We started this show with the Good Father song by Chris Tomlin, because you got to get to that point where you realize that my Father God is good. He wants what's best for me. He wants to bless me. Talk to us, Cindy. Woo! That's a preach.
Well, there's a quote by Pastor Casey Treat that says, "If Satan can convince us that our problem is too big and cannot be solved, we're defeated without a fight."
Amen.
And so
that's exactly right. Along with
what we're talking about, and
right.
We have to look at it. Sometimes we have to look at spiritual things from a human standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have kids, and I don't want to do anything that would hurt them. You know, when they were young, I wanted to give them the best things I could give them.
Right.
I also had to let them learn some things.
True.
So I often had to step back and allow them to go through something to suffer consequences so that they would learn. And part of what they learned, I believe, was that A, I was right, and B, I had their best interest at heart.
There you go.
Even though often it didn't sound like it or feel like it when they were going through their grounding or
right.
or whatever it was.
Exactly.
And so I think that, you know, that applies to our human lives. And I think it's really cool that Jesus himself shows up.
Oh,
here.
I do too.
It's not an. He could have sent an angel.
Right.
He could have sent an archangel, even,
right,
which would have been massive and impressive. But he shows up himself because that's how it works in
right.
our lives.
Yes.
He shows up himself. He shows up and brings all the power and mm-hmm. authority of God.
Right.
Because he's God. So I think it's awesome that he steps into this situation because it's so overwhelmingly impossible that Joshua probably desperately needed some reassurance.
Oh, yeah. Don't you think? Yes, absolutely. And we would say to you, audience, first step is spend quality time, preferably on your face before God, right? If it can't be that particular posture, make it your heart posture on your face before God. Angel, talk to us about this. This is critical that it starts here. This Battle of Jericho really starts with this event right here.
Well, and in that, what it is, first of all, it's the surrendering of our will, our strength, our whatever, and putting God on the throne in our life and letting his will happen. It's a lot that happens, I think, inside of us, you know, spiritually, that moment. It's just a place of ultimate surrender of our will, of our power, everything, and yielding and worshiping him and being able to find his goodness and worship his goodness even in the face of this tremendous battle. He is still good. He is not just good when good things are happening. He is good all the time.
So he's good even when we have difficult circumstances, just like Cindy was saying, that example of being a mother. We're all three mothers and me, a grandmother. And here we are wanting the best for our kids. And God is the same thing. He's a good, good father. Do you want to amplify on that, Angel? Because that is such an important part of this whole test that they go through, that Joshua and the children of Israel go through.
Well, and that's just it. We believe that, you know, he's good, good father when everything looks like a mess, when we are going through a Job kind of time where it just feels like we're being slammed or things are coming at us from all directions. He is still a good, good father. We need to yield more to him. We need to lift him up more and worship him and keep him in our perspective and him in our forefront of our mind, because it's so easy to let the battle take over, let what's laying in front of us discourage us, let it wear us down, let it take our joy, let it take our strength. And we mm-hmm. have in those moments to purposefully and intentfully say, on my face, Lord, no, I worship you.
Absolutely. It's an intentional thing, right? God's intentional. When we submit in worship to him and say, okay, God, I can't do this. There's no way I can fix this. But I know that you've got a plan, so I submit to your plan. Worship is saying, God, you are God. You are stronger. God is greater than any problem I have, right? God, I give you this because I can't fix it. I can't make this happen. And that's mm-hmm. what happened here with Joshua, Cindy, is he looked up there and he saw what was ahead of him. First conquest has to be the biggest, the strongest city.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Talk about that, Cindy. I love that concept.
You don't get to build up. You don't get to have a few little training battles.
Right. Yeah.
Great. And you know, strategically, if I was a country or a city, you know, I'd want my strongest places where I might be attacked. You know,
right.
So I think, you know, this is a generation. This generation that's going into the promised land is not the generation that came out of Egypt.
It is not.
Only Joshua and Caleb remember that, experience that. So you've got a group of people who've only heard about it through the stories
right.
of their families,
right.
their elders. They didn't experience it for themselves. I'm sure some of them, there were miracles in the wilderness, you know, the manna, things like that. But nothing on the massive and huge scale that they're leaving Egypt was on.
Exactly.
Being followed by Pharaoh into the Red Sea, you know, seeing it swallow up his army. This generation has not seen that. So I think...
But they've heard about it.
They've heard about it. But, you know, we hear about things all the time, and you truly cannot grasp it a lot of times if you haven't experienced it.
Well, I agree.
And so, you know, even though Joshua had gone through the deliverance from Egypt, that it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that what 40 years have passed. Sometimes I don't remember things that happened a couple days ago. So I think God showing up here is, this is just a fantastic picture of life here.
Yeah, it is.
The tremendous battles that we face, the needing to remember what God has done for us in the past, God showing up himself, not sending an angel, but showing up himself to say, I am with you, and through my power, you're going to do this.
Oh, amen.
This is the story of our lives, right?
It is. And it had to strengthen Joshua so much. At this point, Joshua is 80 years old, people. 80 years old. I forgot to bring that up this morning, but I'll tell you, that is critical right here. He was 40 when he and Caleb went and spied out the land. Now he's 80 years old, and we know from this story, Joshua walked those trips around Jericho every single day, including the last day. So you're talking an 80-year-old man who was given supernatural strength. He lived to be 110. But here he is, and probably the descendant of Joseph, more than likely, it appears, from that tribe of Ephraim, which means doubly fruited, by the way, which means God just abundantly blessing, right? And so here's Joshua getting the marching orders, okay? And you do not see Joshua arguing with God at all. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, Jericho was shut up tight as a drum because of the people of Israel. No one was going in or coming out. In fact, one verse says that they had heard about the Red Sea miracle. That's why they were all so afraid. They look out and they see a couple million people on the plains there camping out. And the fear had gripped them. Fear is a tactic of the devil. It is not from God. If you feel panic, you feel anxiety, you feel fear, and you're struggling with that, those things did not come from God. You need to learn to take authority over those things. Joshua, it does not say in any part of the story that Joshua sat down and thought, oh, what if this doesn't happen? What if it doesn't? What if God? And our human tendency is to always think, oh, what if? What if it doesn't? Mm-hmm. What if this doesn't happen? Talk to us, Angel. This is our human tendency. You don't see this in Joshua.
You know what? We do. We can talk ourselves right out of letting God do what he needs to do. We can. That's where we get discouraged. I think that's where we find ourselves unwilling to surrender, because when we start seeing fear means I need to hang on tight. I need to do what I can do. I need to manipulate this or do this or do that or retreat and hide or whatever. But when we are walking in fear, we can't be walking in faith.
That's exactly right. It's the opposite of faith, right? It is. And so, dear one, whatever you're facing right now, I want to bring it right back to our listeners, because you can't tell me there aren't people listening that are going through tremendous issues in their lives, physical, mental, emotional, financial, relationship issues. I just mentioned at the top of the show about my good friend Amy, who is suffering from melanoma in her brain. Okay, huge. This is huge. This is not a tiny little thing. It's not a hangnail. This is something huge that we need to believe God with that family for her total miracle. And God is a God of miracles. I cannot stress that enough. We are talking about this huge miracle in Jericho, but every single one of us need to apply this to our own lives today. Because God wants to do a miracle in your life. We're going to get back to Cindy and Angel in just a minute, but I got to play this song by Ray Bolts, guy I know who did a whole show with me right here one day, and that was fantastic a few years back. He listen to this song, Here Comes a Miracle. This is going to boost your faith right now so that you can believe for what miracle you need today.
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, you could hear them say, here comes a miracle.
Believe it for your life right now.
Here comes a miracle. Nothing is impossible. What he says, he'll do. And though this world may doubt us, and though they laugh and stare, someday all men will see the truth when we see him in the
Take it, dear one.
I know a miracle.
Receive that for yourself. Whatever you're going through right now, I'm going to pray for you right now. Then we're going back to Angel and Cindy. Dear God, you know the needs of our listening audience. You know where they are scattered around this globe. You know what they're going through, and you know the heartache or the situations that they are facing. And Lord, you are the God of miracles. You have not stopped doing miracles. You have not stopped healing our bodies or delivering us from from disease or lack or emotional stress or whatever the case may be. God, these things are not too big for you. I don't know who these people are scattered around the globe, but you do, mighty God. And we release our faith, the three of us right now, in agreement for our listeners that whatever miracle they need, here comes their miracle. Because you are the God of miracles and you have not stopped healing our bodies, setting our hearts free of the past, delivering us from stuff that has oppressed us for a long time. You have not stopped doing any of that. Here comes your miracle, dear audience member. Claim it right now in Jesus' name and receive it by faith. So be it. So be it. So be it.
Amen.
Cindy, you don't see Joshua complaining or arguing with Jesus at all about the plan. In fact, what we see is that when God speaks to Joshua in, I think, about verse 2, he says, look sharp now. I've already given Jericho to you, along with its king and its crack troops. I've already done it. Here's what you are to do. Okay, so here's your part. I've already done it. In my mind, God says, it's a done deal. It's already done. It's a done deal. Okay? You know, so often we get to the point we think, okay, God, you promised me that, but I haven't seen the results of that promise. So evidently you didn't really tell me. Or evidently you're really not going to do it because maybe I just haven't had enough faith or something. I guess you're not going to do it, God, right? You know, Cindy, what I'm talking about?
I struggle with that sometimes.
I think we all do.
There are things that were spoken to me years ago that haven't happened yet.
Right.
Things that I've been praying for years that have not come about
yet.
And again, that it goes back to, I think, part of it, our instant society, but also, you know, like with Abraham having children, you know, sometimes I look at my life and at my age, I can't wait another 25 years for that promise.
Oh, see, I feel the same way at my age. I think that too. That's our humanness coming through though,
right,
Cindy.
And so I think Joshua or Caleb was the only person for this job.
Yeah.
Because they had seen the miracles. They had experienced and
they believed
through
what
had happened in Egypt. They were the ones that were sent to the promised land as a group of spies.
Right.
They were in that group, and they were the only two who felt, yes, we can take this land.
2 out of 12. Not very good odds, huh?
Right. And so I'm sure God could have raised up someone else among the children of Israel, but this man had seen it. He'd seen what had happened. He could go back and remind himself of those past victories and past amazing things that had happened. And I think we have to do that in our own lives.
We do.
We have to look back. Kim, you know Kim.
Sure.
We had a blessing book.
Yeah.
And we would refer back to
the blessing book.
God
yes.
had done for us
yes.
in the past.
Yes.
You keep track of those. You write them down. Keep them fresh in your memory so that when you're going through something, you can look at those and go, oh, yeah, that's right. When this was going on, God did this. And
Those things boost our faith, Cindy. Don't
exactly.
you think?
Oh, yes. And as we've mentioned throughout the show today, you know, the faith is what we need. We have to have faith that God is he says he's not a liar.
And he's going to do it. When he says he's going to do it, yes.
Right, and we have to have the faith, our faith built up that, hey, you know what? He's done things for me before.
Right.
He's come through before, and I need to hold on to that and keep that in my memory, keep that in the forefront of, keep it in front of my face.
Exactly.
This is going to happen. Mm-hmm.
God gave me the other night five words for today. The first one was worship, and we saw that with what Joshua did and how Jesus appeared. The second one is acceptance, because when you see here in verse 2 of Joshua chapter 6, if you're following along, God says, look sharp now, or, you know, see it. Look here and look at it. Then he says, I've already given Jericho to you along with its king and its crack troops. In other words, in God's mind, we have got to accept that God has already done it. He sees it as done. Romans 4:17, I love that verse where Paul says, Abraham or Abram called that thing that be not as if it were. Talk to us, angel. And Abram got a hold of this concept, and he said, okay, God, you told me that. My descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky, dust of the earth, sand of the sea, whatever. Okay, God, I'm going to choose to believe that. Abram was the father of faith because it says here, he called that thing that be not as if it already was done. Talk to us, angel.
Well, and that's just what goes into keeping us, our faith strong, keeping our mindset, you know, our mind right. You know, so often, when God says it, he is not a man that he is not to lie. So it is as good as done in the heavenly realm, and we are waiting for that manifestation here in our earthly eyes. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't come through and done what, you know, his part. And so often that's where we get that discouraged between God calling it done and us seeing it done.
Oh, absolutely.
Our mindset can go crazy and get all away from us, and we get discouraged and we get overwhelmed and we get depressed and we get anxious, and you know, all those things happen, and we have to keep calling it done. It's our language. It's the way we think about it, the way we speak about it.
It's our mindset. It has to change, because the devil will always come and say, no, yeah, nothing's happened yet. What's the matter with you? Nothing's happened. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour, and I can't even believe we're at the top of the first hour. This has gone by so quickly, as it normally does around here. But just want you to know that we have a prayer ministry, and we encourage you to use it. Free of charge. Write this email address down. It's prayers@bohmglobal.com. It stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Write it down. Send your prayer requests in. Pastor Jim or Betty up in Michigan, or Shell in Wesley Chapel, one of them will pick up your request and write a prayer and send it out to the radio team, to the prayer team. If you want to be a part of the prayer team, send us an email at prayers@bohmglobal.com. Why would they do that, Angel? Why would they even bother to do this?
Oh, there's a whole army of prayer warriors behind those prayer requests, you know, and that's where we need to take it, to the throne. That's where the power is. That's where, you know, the blood is. It's, you know, it's the throne of God. And where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there.
Woo! Absolutely. Yeah. Why should anybody listen to our Thursday night show, Dr. Angel? Tell us about it. It's with you and me, so what is it?
Yes, it is. Thursday night is our life coaching show called Go Yard, and it's all about hitting those home runs in life, and it's just, you know, tools for practical living, and we really get in deep. We take almost every topic imaginable, and we talk about how to place our life, how to get through it, how we can become overcomers so we're not just existing, we're thriving.
Oh, amen. 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night right here on TantalkNetwork.com. It's called Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life. Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. Did I get it all? And private practice, 727-501-6557. 6557. She is in private practice now, and amongst other things that she does. I'm going to give you that number again. PhD, licensed mental health counselor. If you need counseling, you can't find it any better than Dr. Angel. And that is 727-501-6557. So give her a call. And we're going to get to the top of the hour and do our little, what do you call that? Our, what do you call it, Angel?
Station ID.